Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. The title of my message tonight is The Mark We Strive For. Start off by just mentioning the fact that we like the metaphorical sections of scriptures, the analogies that the Bible gives to help us to understand the Christian life. There are a number of them, and I enjoy preaching messages when there are one of these involved. The soldier, the farmer, the servant master, the sheep, the runner, the boxer. Do you remember all of those as you read through the scripture? A lot of analogies are made. Conditions of the heart. Remember in Matthew chapter 13, there's the stony heart and the thorny heart and the hard heart, the stony hard heart, the thorn, the wayside soil or heart. Those conditions of the soil in the parable that's given there. In discussing scripturally sin, you might use words like the leaven, the darkness. You talk about stumbling, like you are walking. You stumble or you fall. A lot of these are in the scriptures, all of those that I just mentioned. One that's not in the scripture, but you do hear messages and use this illustration sometimes, that of a recipe. By mixing certain ingredients together, we make some good use of those ingredients, something rather tasty. By adding or leaving out, adding an extra ingredient or leaving something out, sometimes it doesn't turn out very well, like leaving sugar out of the cake. Wouldn't be much good for anything then, would it? We'd have to just throw it away, probably. Tonight, the spiritual recipe we'll call the recipe for victorious living. The recipe for victorious living. The mark we strive for. That's what we want to talk about. There are only two ingredients that we'll talk about tonight. Those two are faith and works. Faith and works. The recipe for victorious living. In terms of salvation, faith is what it's made of, right? You don't add works to it. Our salvation is by faith, okay? We're not talking about salvation, though I'll continue to bring that up. I'm not suggesting that you add works to salvation or works to faith to have salvation. We're talking about works to faith to have victorious Christian life after we're already saved. And I'll make that plain as we continue here. Works is the result of our saving faith. Right? If you have the right kind of faith, then you also have works because it produces that in us. The two ingredients, let's talk about them one at a time a little bit more extensively. First of all, faith. You're in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." William MacDonald says that's a description, not a definition. Well, I like to say it's a definition too, but it is indeed a description. He goes on to say, faith makes things hoped for as real as if you already had them. Faith makes things hoped for as real as if you already had them. That's good. And that's what this verse means. Faith provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolutely certain. They're for sure. Faith provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolutely certain and real. So says William MacDonald. Now a definition, a good working definition, just a real simple one. Definition of faith. Faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. He said it. It's going to happen that way. Confidence in the trustworthiness of God. Whatever he says is true. What he promises will come to pass. What he predicts will come to pass. It's not limited to what we consider in the realm of the possible either, is it? Because God works the impossible sometimes. You think this? There's no way. I have a friend down south still. I took his place, or was going. I was hired to take his place in a church. He was the music director and did some other things. And I was going to lead the music in this church. And he had cancer, and he was so bad the doctors had given up on him. He was terminal. They didn't expect him to live but weeks. It was bad. And he's still alive. That's a miracle. He went back to the doctor and he said, "You're all burnt up inside from the radiation." He had scars all over the inside, but he's living still. Praise the Lord. So faith can be, we don't necessarily, it's not a name it and claim it, but we believe that God can do miracles, miraculous things. He can revive a church where there seems like there's no hope. He can give health where it seems like there's no hope. He can bring somebody to himself through ways that you would have never dreamed of. You say, it was just miraculous that it happened that way. It was the hand of God. So faith goes beyond what we would say, well, it's possible that that could happen. No, it could be impossible that it happens and then God do it anyway. How important is this ingredient we call faith? Look at verse 6. It says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him," that is God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I know you've read that verse many times. We've quoted it and have used it in many messages. I would ask to this verse, I would ask why. If God said it and you don't believe it, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. If God said it and you don't believe it, isn't it pretty much the same as calling him a liar? If you don't believe what he says, by an act of unbelief, not trusting, it's pretty much the same as calling him a liar. 1 John 5:10 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. 1 John 5:10. So without faith, a man could never know God without faith. But even beyond knowing God, so we have to have faith to be saved. But beyond that, do we need to continue to exercise faith? We do, don't we? There's a lot more to believe than the gospel. And that's why without faith, it's impossible to please him. You'll never come to him, first of all, without faith, but you never live for him without faith either. And now the second ingredient. Well, let me read first. Let me say this first before I go to that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Can somebody quote that? "So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." So if we want more faith, what do we need to do? Get into the book, right? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Is that mystical? You read the Bible, and so God, sometime while you're sleeping, pours a little faith in your ear and it sinks in. And is that how it works? Is it some mystical? No, it's not mystical at all. Faith is believing God, but if you don't read the Bible, you won't know what to believe. You won't know what to believe him for. So faith comes by reading the Bible. And then you exercise that acceptance and that agreement with God and believe him. It's not a foolish step in darkness either, is it? Everything we believe about God is based upon something he said, something he promised. Now let's go to the second ingredient, works. Look at Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm going to ask you to mark several verses in Titus. They talk about works. You wouldn't believe that, perhaps, because you know Titus 3:5. How does that start? "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, not Can somebody quote it? "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Not, is it not? No. Quote it. But by the washing. Maybe we should turn to it. I quote it about every other day and now I can't think of it. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So you would say, if you're looking for some verses that tell you that you don't need to work, you probably wouldn't look in Titus, right? Where it says not, but you would be surprised. I think you will be even tonight. Titus 1:16. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Works in the context of spiritual things are manifestations of obedient faith. God said something and it makes us act. So it's works in the realms of spiritual things is a manifestation of me obeying God's word, having faith to obey the word of God. If you truly believe something, then you act upon it, don't you? When we believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we weren't saved because we believed he died on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead. Other people believe that. They're not saved, but you act upon that faith and you personalize that. You make him your Savior. Jesus died not just for the sins of the world, but he died for Danny Linville's sin. I'm accepting him. You see, I did something. What I believe brought about some action. And that's how faith works. If you truly believe something, you act upon it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to share some things perhaps that you believe because God said it. And what did it cause you, or what should it cause us to do if we truly believe it? The context of Titus 1:16 is about Judaizers. They profess to know God, but he says by their works, their works proved otherwise. And that's what verse 16 is about. They profess to know God, but you look at them and you would say, no, probably not. Why? Because their works betray their real heart. By contrast, a believer's life is marked by good works. An unbeliever, they're not going to have those works. Obedience to faith. Obedience to what they believe. They believe something, but it doesn't drive them to action. But a believer's entirely the opposite. He believes something and it changes his life. Because God said that, oh, I just discovered this tonight. I'm going to apply that to my life. And it changes what we do. We make application of it. So by contrast, a believer's life will be marked by good works, which confirm that he's a child of God. I'm going to read you some other verses. You look at them too. Titus 2:7. All of these are about works in Titus, where we just had 3:5. This says, not by works of righteousness. But listen to what he says in verse 7, chapter 2 and verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. You see it? We're supposed to have a pattern of good works. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous, having zeal for good works. How about chapter 3 and verse 1? Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. How about 3:8? This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And lastly, chapter 3 and verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Isn't that amazing? In that book that tells us that it's not by works that we're saved, tells us that we're saved to do good works. Saved to do good works. So in terms of salvation, let's think of that just a minute. In terms of salvation, works without faith, what would you call that? Working to please God. What would you call it? There's a word for it. It starts with an L. A legalist. You know, it's all about what you do. But our salvation is not about what we do, is it? It's about what he did. Right? faith in what he did. So works without faith is legalism, and a legalist is not really a Christian if he's truly a legalist. The Bible has nothing good to say about the works of a faithless man. The Bible has nothing good to say about the works of a faithless man. That's pretty serious. In Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have carried us away, taken us away. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." It's not by works. Somebody who's working for their salvation is a legalist. You've heard me say this before. The difference in all of the other world religions and biblical Christianity is we don't believe we have to work to get to heaven. We believe Jesus did the work on the cross. And we put our confidence, our faith in him. It's not by works. God doesn't have anything good to say about the works of a man who has no faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3, 5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Titus 3, 5. Hebrews 6, 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Hebrews 6, 1. So, again, God has nothing good to say about a man who works who has no faith. Works without faith are not any value spiritually. Is that right? They won't help you with God. If when you stand before God, all you have to show is your own works of righteousness, you'll be pronounced dead in your trespasses and sins. You will have wasted a whole lot of time doing good works too, thinking that you're going to get to heaven. Do you think there are any men and women in our day who are in that category? They don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about what they do. Matthew 7:22, the Lord says, "Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There'll be people who've cast out demons. I never did that, did you? Cast out demons and wonderful spiritual works, but they don't have saving faith. I had a cousin, we used to call him Uncle. He was a Mason for many, many years. He gave lots of money. He was a multimillionaire and gave money and land for a Masonic home to be built and so on. Tried to witness to him. My dad tried to witness to him. I was really young when he died. Stepped out in front of a car in front of his house and was run over and killed. Tragic, tragic thing. But he, as far as we know, didn't know the Lord Jesus. Counting on his works. Can you imagine somebody thinking they've done all these wonderful things and they're going to be okay with God, but God's not impressed with their works? What is he impressed with? Think about that a minute. What is God impressed with? His Son, right? He's impressed with his Son. And if I'm in his Son, I'm okay. If you have the Son, you're okay. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Because it's all about his Son. Now, conversely, we'll say, Faith without works is dead. If works without faith are no good, the works are good for nothing. What about faith without works? In terms of salvation, yeah, you know, you don't have to have works to be saved, but if you're saved, you will work. But faith without works is dead orthodoxy. Orthodoxy, things to believe. You know, there are very pious religious people like the Pharisees. I think of the Hasidic Jews. They're very religious people. And they know what the Bible says. They could quote scripture just verse after verse after verse for a long time. They know the rabbinical traditions today. But they're dead. They don't have salvation. Faith without works is dead. Faith cannot be divorced from obedience. To be saved, one must believe in the gospel and then act upon that belief. It's not enough just to know. It's not enough to know that Jesus died on the cross. Mary Jean and I had a Bible study with some Lutherans one time in their home. I may have told you this already. The fellow's name was Tom, and Tom was an altar boy or whatever. He did whatever the children do in the Lutheran church. And they thought they were good. We had had Bible study for week after week after week. And then one day he looked up at me and he had this big smile on his face. It was distracting. He just kept smiling at me. And I said, Tom, what are you smiling at? He said, I got it. Now he knew Jesus died on the cross for his sins. He believed that Jesus died for his sins. But he had never made him his Savior. He never trusted him personally to save him from his sins. It was sort of like Jesus out there died for the sins of the world. But now it's Jesus died for my sins. And it was made personal to him. And he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. So to be saved, one must believe the gospel. And believing, he will act upon it. As a believer, he will continue to discover the things that God said. And we do, don't we? As believers, as we're in the Word, we learn new things that God has said. Or we should. We should be in the Word of God, and it should be changing our lives. This living, powerful book should do a work in our hearts. It should. James, you're so close. Turn there, James 2:14. James 2:14, the scriptures are clear. If your faith is not producing works, then let me ask you, finish that. If your faith as a so-called believer, if your faith is not producing works, then what can we say about your faith? It's a dead faith. It's not saving faith. Saving faith produces works, obedience to what we believe, action because of what we believe. Look at verse 14, chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, faith being alone. Faith without works is dead, faith. Verse 17. So if a person claims to have saving faith, but has never acted upon that faith, they're still dead in their trespasses and sins. They've wasted a lot of time pretending to believe God. Pretending to believe. I've known a lot of people who fit into that description. They profess faith in Christ, but there's nothing in their lives to back up their claim. Nothing. And I've watched them die like that. Have you? My brother Randy, that I have been rejoicing over, talked to my mom the other day, and she said, Randy, he's a different man. He's a different man. He's going to church every week. Said he bought him a couple of sport coats and some new shoes and tie. He hadn't had a sport coat in 35 years. Not been to church except for funerals. And my brother started going to church. My mom said, he sits around now and talks to me about how his day's gone. He's helpful. He'll get up, take out the garbage. Or he doesn't live with her, but he lives next to her, and he eats with her about every afternoon, every evening. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. My brother kept telling me, I've asked him over the years, Randy, are you really saved? Are you trusting? And he would always say, yes, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. But I always doubted it because he didn't act saved. He didn't do anything that saved people do. And I'm rejoicing in my heart because now he's doing things that saved people do. I'm thankful for God's mercy and his patience. Patience. Don't ever give up. Keep praying. Never give up. A true believer has both faith in Christ for personal salvation and the resulting desire to be obedient to his commands, producing then what we're talking about, good works. I said good works are manifestations of his obedience to what he believes. Obedience to what he believes. So these verses certainly reveal the importance, the important truths pertaining to our salvation. It takes faith and faith alone to be saved. But if you have that faith, if it's that true faith, you act upon it to be saved and you keep on acting upon the things of the Word of God, that's the kind of faith that will save a person. It's a faith that moves the wheel, the will. Moves the will. James puts it like this in 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, he says. So I stated in the introduction, though we've talked about salvation a lot, I'd like to make sort of an implication of these truths of these verses, about victorious Christian living, because faith and works are certainly a part of every believer's life. A true believer whose faith has reconciled him to God and whose life has borne fruit thereof certainly can backslide. I believe my brother did. You probably know people who have. They claim to be faithful to the Lord, and you watched and they had fruit in their life, but not now. Not now. Perhaps they're backslidden, neglected the Word of God, perhaps. And by doing so, we can forfeit, by neglecting the Word of God and by backsliding away from the Lord, we can forfeit the abundant life that he came to give us. There are two ways for a believer to forfeit the blessings of God. Both have to do with this recipe, faith and works. Number one, a believer who emphasizes his works and ignores his need to trust God for power and provision and purpose is a disobedient Christian. And he forfeits that power and provision and purpose that only God can provide. So even after salvation, our works are of no eternal value unless they're accompanied by faith. Think about what you're doing at Corinth Baptist Church and what you do for the Lord now. Sing in the choir, chime choir, service one of our little displays, clean the church, teach a Sunday school class, whatever you do. Our works are of no eternal value unless they're accompanied by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you can do all the work you want to, but if you're not exercising faith, you're not pleasing God. Your works by themselves won't please God. Your works need to be the result, the manifestation of your obeying what you believe. You're acting upon what you believe. Now, works are not bad. It's just that the works are only half the ingredient, right? If you want to please God, you're going to have faith. Secondly, A believer who emphasizes faith and neglects his responsibility to be a doer of the word will begin to feel sort of unfulfilled, empty, useless. Sort of get tired of life. Everything that you can believe about God requires obedience, requires action. Certainly, James was writing to Christians when he says in verse 22 of chapter 1, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Be doers of the word. You see, faith produces works. In terms of salvation, not doing the work means that you really didn't get saved. But James urges these believers, their believers, to continue to be doers of the word. Doers of the word. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That follows right on the heels of Ephesians 2, 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Huh? What, Paul? Our works don't save us, he said. But we're created to do good works. We're recreated. We are creatures of God, born again, alive now in Christ to do good works, to serve him. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. So let me make this statement. As a believer, if you are counting on your faith to put you in a place of blessing, and your faith is not evidenced by works of obedience to the commands and the promises that you claim to have faith in, you're really going to be disappointed as a Christian. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to enjoy the abundant life. Faith, yes, but a faith that moves us to action, that makes us want to do everything we can possibly do for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith that we should strive for. Faith that produces works. Obedience, manifestations of our obedience to the things that we believe. Being doers of the word, not hearers only. Being moved to action by what God says. I want us to maybe give a couple of illustrations, a couple of examples. Name something that you've chosen to believe, and what should that make you do? How should you behave because you believe this? Can you think of something? Faith in what God says always requires that we do something. Do something with it. Let me give you one and you tell me what I should do. God is all powerful. So what should I do? I believe that. I believe God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So what difference does it make? Makes you pray differently. Okay. What else?
Rest in his control.
Rest. Don't worry. God is all-powerful. If God is all-powerful, I need to ask him to do some things, pray differently, ask him to do some things that only he could do. Do our prayers matter? How do we know that? How do we know that our prayers matter, though, other than by experience? He says he'll answer our prayers. He says he wants us to pray to him and bring our petitions before him. I believe that that's what God wants. So what difference should that make? If I believe that God wants me to pray and that prayer makes a difference, what difference should it make to me? What should I do? Pray more. Do you pray enough? None of us pray enough, do we? Do we really believe that prayer makes a difference then? God says prayer makes a difference. Do we pray enough? I don't. I don't always live like I believe that. That's my message tonight. We need to live like we truly believe what we say God has given us. Can you think of another illustration, another example? What do you believe about God? Do you believe when we come together that He's right here in the midst of us? Should change how we act. Shouldn't it? Yeah.
He's in the midst when we're all alone.
I'm sorry?
He's in the midst when we're all alone.
He is. But He says, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. I know He lives in our hearts, but there's something special about the fellowship of believers. If it's special to God, then it should be special to us too, shouldn't it? We ought to act upon what we believe. Any other thoughts? I feel like I chewed that up a little bit trying to get it out, but I hope it's understandable tonight. Faith that saves also produces a response. You respond to what you believe, a manifestation of obedience to what you believe. That's works. I hope the Lord will bless us with that thought. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. I pray that You would be honored, Lord, by our response to these truths. Forgive us for our sins, our sinfulness. Lord, forgive us how we have believed and not been obedient, and not acted upon what we believe, not implement what we believe in our lives. Lord, forgive us and help us. Help us that we might give more thought to these words tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.